You're listening to the Ranch Church Podcast. For more information and service times, go to ranchchurch.com.
So glad that you're here. That worship, it takes me to church every single time. And I hope the same thing is true for you. What a gift worship is. What a gift that worship was, and what a blessing it is to be with you right now. I love you. God bless you this morning. These are very interesting days that we live in. Very interesting days. And the topic we have right here, right now from the scriptures applies to you and applies to me, applies to all of us at this very, very moment. And I'm excited to bring it to you right now. We're going to be talking about peacemaking and how God, through Jesus Christ, works his peace. There's a phrase I want you to have, even where you're sitting right now, I want you to say it with me. Jesus brings a peace. Can you say that right there? Come on now. Come on now. We're going to church right here. Jesus brings a peace. Jesus actually brings the peace. And this message we're going to talk about is for those who love gospel preaching. Christians love gospel preaching. Christians love getting into the Word and digging into the Word. Christians love gospel preaching. Christians love Bible study. They love Jesus and they want to understand the things of the scriptures. I know that's you right now as we begin to get into God's Word. Listen, as we talk about this verse which says here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, says, blessed are the peacemakers. That word is happy. Happy are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. As we get into this verse, as we look at this right now, as we see the contrast in our society, we have to understand that everywhere we're turning right now, and it wasn't just these days, it is prior to these days, so easy to forget what was happening just months ago, but everywhere we turn, there is tension. Everywhere we turn, there's tension. Everywhere we turn, there is strife. Everywhere we turn, there is pain. And here's what I want you to say with all of that, Jesus brings the peace. So is there tension in your life? Is there actual tension right now? Is there tension in our society? Jesus brings a peace. Is there strife in your life? Strife in your family? Strife in your business? Is there a strife in our society? Jesus brings a peace. Is there pain in your life? Pain in your family? Pain in your business? Pain in your soul? You can say it with me again. Jesus brings a peace. Jesus brings the peace. And he is doing something inside you right now through your word to allow you to operate as one of his peacemakers. But we have to sort of define some boundaries here. We got to kind of put some boundaries. We got to kind of create a box a little bit to understand what it means that Jesus brings the peace. For example, peace and peacemaking, according to the scriptures and according to Jesus Christ right here, is not about compromise. It's not about political compromise. It's not just about walking away from the tension. It's not someone who sits there and says, you know what, I'm not going to let those things bother me, and so they're going to walk away. Jesus' peace is different. Jesus brings a peace that's different than that. Jesus' peace revolves around Jesus' righteousness. Jesus' peace, what he brings, is not fake. It's not phony. It's actually not cheap. It's not about just dismissing someone and walking away and thinking something's unimportant. No, Jesus brings a peace because Jesus brings the righteousness. Jesus brings that peace which fills the heart and soul, which fills a church, which fills a community because Jesus brings the righteousness. He makes things right because he deals with all wrong. And so I want to read this verse to you here, and I want you to understand it. It's in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. I love this verse, and I'm going to explain it to you here. And we're going to read as John, the Apostle John, as an older brother in the Lord, is actually looking at this younger church. And he's the only one who's not been martyred. They've tried to kill him. and they can't kill him because there's been supernatural power operating in the Apostle John. And so he's going to turn to you and I, no matter what our age is. He's going to call us little children. And so he says, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. Now think about that. That sin creates that strife. We'll talk about that more in a moment. But he's saying, I'm writing these words to you to know Jesus so that you may not sin. But since he knows the truth, he says, if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. See how Jesus Christ brings a peace? Because Jesus Christ brings a righteousness. And then he's going to say, he is a propitiation for our sins. Now that word is not common to you. It's an old English word. And that word propitiation, what it means is that there was somehow offense or there was anger, or in Romans, actually it's related to God's wrath against sin. And so John here is saying that if anyone does sin, we actually have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is a propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. So the love of God, the joy of God, the salvation of God actually is for you, and it's for me, and it's for the whole world. And as John is using this word propitiation, it's the idea of wrath being taken away. So that's why it's not about someone saying, oh, you know what, I just don't get upset. Or I'm just going to walk away from this argument. Or I'm not going to just let things bother me. The truth is you are upset. The truth is something does bother you. The truth is that you have this conflict and you walk away and it still bothers you. That's what the truth is. And so in our relationship with God, propitiation, which relates to the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, means that Jesus has paid all the fullness of debt on your behalf that you had no capacity to pay. And he did it in such a way that God the Father is fully satisfied, fully happy, completely content. And he's altering, get this, his emotional countenance towards you, his child, affirming that he loves you, affirming that he cares for you. So propitiation actually is a significant word for us to understand and has tremendous depth and meaning in the Bible. Let's go back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5 and verse 9. Jesus bringing the peace. Listen, it's not in you naturally. There are some people that will try and tell me, try and say, well, you know, I'm a peacemaker. And what they're talking about is the psychology of their mind, the countenance of their soul by nature. They're trying to say, I was raised peacefully, or maybe just the opposite. I was raised in a home of strife, and so I enter adulthood and I want to back off of all conflict. There is no peace in you naturally. Maybe you mature and you learn how to handle conflict in a better way, but there is no peace in you naturally. And I'll prove it to you right now. When you were born, you came into this world crying. You came into this world screaming. You came into this world crying and screaming. There's no peace in you naturally. But there can be peace in you supernaturally. There can be great peace from God, and great peace from God that operates inside of you, towards your own soul, towards your friendships and your family and your business, towards the totality of everything in you, the community that you live, the church that you participate in. There can actually be God's peace from Jesus Christ, but it will come supernaturally. So who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus who can say, who can lay claim to say that he has the capacity in him to actually bring you this peace? Who is this Jesus? I'm going to read from you now. I got some notes here, and I don't want to miss any of them. And so I'm going to read to you from these details about who is this Jesus who brings this peace. And I want you to take note of these right now, friend. I want you to take note of these. He is the Alpha and the Omega. Can I get an amen on your couch as you're listening to this right now? Come on, right now. Can I get an amen? He's the Alpha and the Omega. Revelation chapter 22, verse 13. He is the Emmanuel. This is coming to us from Isaiah 7, 14, where we talk about this at Christmas. He is the Emmanuel, which means God with us. He is that Alpha and the Omega. He is not the distant God. He is actually the near God. He is that Emmanuel, God with us. He is now, as the Bible talks about in Revelation chapter 17, verse 14, he is the King of Kings. So who are we talking about who can bring this peace? He is actually the King of Kings. And he is, according to Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, the Lord of Lords. He's not just that king. He is also the Lord. He is not just the king. He is the Lord of the universe. This is who Jesus is. That's why he can say, I am Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. I bring the peace. He is in John chapter 8, verse 35. John chapter 6, verse 35. He is the bread of life. He is in John chapter 1, verse 29. He is actually the Lamb of God. This bread of life and this Lamb of God. And he is actually in John chapter 10, verse 11, he is also the good shepherd. These are all the things Jesus is. That's why he can bring the peace. You should be shouting and getting all crazy at your home now, saying amen and amen. I can hear you now. And then he is, and I love this one. I love this one. This is from Isaiah chapter 9. This is from Isaiah chapter 9. We say this again at Christmas often, sometimes at Easter. But he is the Prince of Peace. But what happens before we end with that Prince of Peace in that verse, what the Bible is saying is that he is actually the Wonderful Counselor. He is not just the Wonderful Counselor. He is the Mighty God, speaking of Jesus. He is that Everlasting Father and brings the Father to us. And then he is that Prince of Peace. This is who Jesus is. So when Jesus is making this claim that he's going to enter your life and do certain things and rearrange certain things, he is going to come and bring that peace from God. And he's going to make you that peacemaker of God. And everything's going to change around you in light of that. It's so sweet and it's so beautiful. Let's go to our Bible now, Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. These terms are actually very simple. Blessed, that is happy. So you're going to be happy. You're going to be happy to have Jesus in your life. You're going to be happy to be this peacemaker. You're going to be happy to have this peacemaking from God in your life. Happy, blessed are the peacemakers. Only time that word's used in the whole New Testament. Very unique. Very unique. It has to do with having inside your soul a certain kind of tranquility that has been gifted to you from God. A certain kind of soulful tranquility that has been gifted to you from God. What a blessing. What an absolute blessing. And they shall be called sons of God, daughters of God, of course, sons and daughters of God. And what that means is that these people have a position that's so unique that God actually respects them. There's actually a respect from God. There's an honor from God to be in this place as a son and daughter of God. And so happy are these people who God has supernaturally placed tranquility into their soul so that it operates in such a way that God gives them unique, very unique respect, very unique places of honor inside his actual kingdom. So let's talk now about how Jesus can actually bring that peace to you. I mean, we're right now in these days. We need this message right now. We need the fruit of the gospel right now in your life. I mean, you need this. You need this in your life. And so let's talk about how Jesus brings the peace, which sort of brings up something that I heard recently. We're going to call this the tale of the three cowboys. And so the tale of the three cowboys is, these cowboys lost part of their cattle and they got away from all the other cowboys. And so they were going to look for their cattle. And they came surprisingly upon a river that should have been just kind of pedestrian, kind of small, but it was big, it was swollen, and it was breaking the banks. And the cattle that they were looking for was on the other side of the river. And they said to themselves, wait, how does this happen? We don't even know how to get to the other side. We don't know how to get to the other side of this river. And so they began to scratch their heads and think about this for a moment. And so the first cowboy number one says, well, I've been watching on YouTube. You guys don't know that, but I've been on my phone on YouTube. I've been watching this ranch church. and I've been listening to that pastor. He talks about praying in Jesus' name. And maybe I don't understand these things, but I'm going to pray in Jesus' name. Now, the other two cowboys began to tease him. They said, you don't even have a Bible. You can't even read. The third cowboy said, man, you ain't even a tither. You don't even tithe that church. You just go in the back cabin and watch it on your phone. He says, yeah, but I know a thing or two. And so for some reason, this cowboy, he had this big wad of chewing. And I don't care. I don't think Jesus cares. But he got the wad out and he threw it on the ground. And the other two said, like, that's going to help you pray. And then he took his hat off. And then he says, I'm going to show you. And so then he prayed and he said, Lord God, I pray to you now in Jesus' name, just like I've been listening on this YouTube channel with this ranch church. I've been trying to listen to the Bible. I don't understand all of these things, but I'm going to pray to you now because I know to pray in Jesus' name. And I'm going to pray right now that you give me the strength to get this horse and to get myself on the other side of that river and get those cattle back where they belong. I pray that now in Jesus' name. And to the surprise of everybody. Boom, right there, the guy got turned into some sort of like Samson-like being. And he was able to get a bow and arrow and jerry-rig a pulley system. And he got into those rushing waters and he held on to that bridle with the horse. And it took hours. I mean, this took hours. He worked and sweated for hours, but he got that horse to the other side. He got himself safely on the side. He got up there on the other side of the river and he started mocking to his friends saying, see, I told you, that's how it works. So cowboy number two said, I don't know if that works like that. And so he said, look, I've been listening to this ranch church thing as well. I've been listening to that pastor. I know that there's another way to pray. And so he got his chew out and he got his hat off for some reason. He went down to the waterfront and he said, listen, I pray in Jesus' name. I don't just pray to be made strong like my brother, but I've been listening about God's provision and God's been providing. He's this God and provider. They use these Jewish words. I don't know them now, but I know that God is this provider. And so I pray right now, Jesus, in your name, that you not only make me strong, but you provide for me. And so out of the blue, he was made strong. God came to visit. And then he gave him this huge raft, like a big, big wooden raft. And it was a little rickety, but it was pretty big. And so he took himself the whole next few hours to get a pulley system going up and running. And he had to work this horse who did not want to get on that raft. And he got that horse on the raft and he got to the other side. Took hours. Well, now there's cowboy number three and the other two cowboys are mocking this leftover cowboy. And the cowboy says, you know what? I'm the one who goes to that church, actually. I actually tithe at that church and I serve at that church. And I've listened to plenty of ranch church Bible message. I'm going to show you how it's done. And so he got his hat off and he got his chew out of his mouth. And he said, Lord Jesus, I not only pray in your name to be made strong. I not only pray to have your provision, but I pray to have your wisdom and even your intelligence. So make me wise right now. Make me intelligent. Do whatever it takes, because I know Pastor has said that when I pray, I have to be made willing for you to do, Jesus, whatever it takes inside of me. And so I pray this in Jesus' name. And right at that moment, when that third cowboy was praying, Jesus, do whatever it takes, Lord Jesus did it. And he changed that cowboy into a woman. He changed the cowboy into a woman. And so all of a sudden he was freaked out because he's a girl. He's a woman. He's like, wow, I didn't know. And the other guys are making fun of him. Sitting on his horse. Now he's been changed into a woman. He's having womanly feelings. And he began to think about these womanly feelings. And he began to remember that in his saddlebag was a map. And he got the map out and he began to read the map like a woman would read the map. And he began to realize that only 5 minutes away, there was a bridge that he could go over with the horse and meet his friends on the other side. And so he went on the trail and he crossed the bridge and he got over to his friends on the other side and God graciously turned him back into a man. Okay. Did you like that? God turned him into a woman and he knew how to go. He knew where to go. You got that, right? Okay, so the moral of the story, the moral of the parable of the three cowboys is that when God wants to do something great in and through you, he has to do something great deep inside and to you. Jesus will bring the praise, but God must make great change in you in order to do that great work in and through you. All right, let's talk about now about how Jesus is going to bring this peace. Let's talk about how he's going to work inside you. You guys didn't lose your religion on that, did you? Okay, one of these days I'm going to turn the camera on these guys and you're going to be able to see them. Okay, so listen, here's exactly how Jesus brings the peace. First point, no devil, no sin, not even death has authority over Jesus. I want you to understand that. No devil, no sin, not even death. None of these things, think about the power of them, has any authority over Jesus Christ. I want to go to Colossians very quickly, and I want to read this to you. And I didn't mark it very well in my Bible ahead of time, so let me get there for you in Colossians. And in chapter 2, you're going to see this in verse 13, where the Bible is going to talk very powerfully and say, "And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together, having forgiven all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed." I love this. You want to get this reference down. As we're reading in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 to the end of 15, he says, "He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him." One of the most dramatic, satisfying things in my life, in the life of a Christian, is this very truth about how Jesus brings a peace. No devil, no sin, not even death, has authority over Jesus Christ. When we die as believers, we're stoked we go to be with heaven. If we have sinful issues, there's no shame that can ever be thrown against us. We can simply confess it, rebuke it, move on with it, ask God for discipline, have the power of the Holy Spirit, allow the Word of God to transform our minds. If the devil is bringing a spiritual battle, we can shut it down in Jesus' name. This for myself is one of the most satisfying things I've ever experienced in my entire life. The ability personally, whether it's at my dinner table, whether it's in my personal life, whether it's as I'm walking in life, to know that there is nothing that I can encounter by which Jesus does not have that authority over. Isn't that great? I mean, there's nothing like this. Jesus has that authority. Jesus brings a peace. Secondly, Jesus brings a peace. But secondly, Jesus creates peacemakers to give the world his peace. So in other words, Jesus is actually creating peacemakers so that the world can actually have his peace. That's why I'm taking time right now, because this point right here in the scriptures, this is actually what our world needs. The world needs us, as I go back to Matthew chapter 5, the world needs us to be these happy peacemakers who are called the sons and daughters of God. I want to show you this video, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about this video. Frankly, it was actually, it's actually from Christmas. It's called The Christmas Miracle of World War I, and you're going to see just a snippet of it. I've chosen from this. There's a couple different versions of this. This actually comes from a company selling chocolate. But the middle third of it actually has some things that I want you to see. I want you to understand that this guy named Jim begins to hear the Germans singing Christmas carols, Silent Night, begins to hear that. They're stuck in a ditch. They're stuck in a pit. They're in this trench warfare. And they hear the Germans singing on Christmas. And so he pops his head out. And they're going to shoot and kill him. And the other side realizes that well, maybe that's not right. And so a guy named Otto pops his head out. And he looks at Jim. And one is a Brit. And one is German. And they're actually at war with one another. And so all of a sudden, these two soldiers walk towards one another. On Christmas. And one guy says, "Hi, my name's Jim." And the other guy says, "My name's Otto." And that day, they shut down the war and they shut down strife. And it was just so impromptu because of what Jesus was doing in that actual moment. And so they played ball together and they had fellowship together and they had peace together in that day. And so they came together, because this is what Jesus does when someone chooses to allow the peace of Jesus Christ to enter them and then to work externally. And here these soldiers actually found peace that day. So amazing that Jesus, when he was talking in Matthew chapter 10, as he was talking in Matthew chapter 10, he began to see that he sends out the disciples And what he begins to say to them is that they're to go out and minister in peace. And Jesus here in Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, is going to begin to use phraseology that relates to having his peace set down. And he's going to say here, he's going to say, in whatever town and village you enter, find out who is worthy in it and stay there until you depart. And as you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. Jesus is actually working in such a way to teach the disciples to go and minister in such a way that his peace can actually be resident in that place of ministry. And so Jesus brings a peace. I'm going to go third now and talk about this third principle. Okay, I want to stop it right there. This third principle that I'm going to talk about, how Jesus brings a peace, is going to speak to you. And I want you to stay with me now because you've got to get this. I'm calling it the over and under principle. The over and under principle. And I'm going to tell you very quickly the story of Matthew chapter 8, verse 5, which is the story of the centurion. And there was this Roman centurion who was not operating, if you will, by the rules of Judaism. He was just learning about Jesus, and he asked Jesus' help to come and heal his servant. And Jesus is willing to go and help. And he says, no, you don't need to do this. I am simply a man who understands what it's like to be over authority and to be under authority. I understand how to be over authority and under authority. Just say the word and my servant shall be healed. Jesus compliments him for his faith. Says, I haven't seen faith like this. And so he's actually marveling at him. And he answers that prayer at that moment, and he heals the centurion's servant based on this principle of peace, the over and under principle. So as you operate in this principle of peace, as you go as a son and daughter of God, you have got to understand, you have to internalize this truth. You will at times have be over authority. You will be the person who has that authority in such situations and circumstances related to business, family, ministry, and church. And yet at other times in those same circumstances, you must allow yourself to be the person under authority. And in both of those moments, God will do something great because Jesus brings a peace. So are you under authority? Jesus can bring the peace. Are you over authority? Jesus can bring the peace. This is one of the more profound lessons in the Christian life. And Jesus will bring the peace in that moment. Fourth, now, as we go through this, how Jesus brings a peace. Listen, friends, we're preaching now. I don't go away. I want you to understand what I'm saying, because this is found in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. This is the idea of Jesus' teaching here in Matthew 7, chapter 7, verse 1, where Jesus himself is going to talk about the log. And here's the principle I want you to internalize and take home. I want you to write it down. It humbles me. I got to say this. I mean, it humbles me. It stops me in my tracks what I'm about to tell you. The log in your eye is real. I mean, it's real. You're not going to escape this. This is found in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus talking here, chapter 7, verse 1 of Matthew's Gospel. Judge not that you not be judged. That's the overriding principle there. For with judgment you pronounced, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. I'm going to start weeping sometimes when I read that and I look at my own life. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, the little thing? Why do you see the little thing in your brother's eye, is what Jesus is saying. But do not notice the log that is in your own eye. Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. My friends, I'm here to tell you that what changed my life very dramatically was an initial confession that no matter what I did in my own humanity through my own self-effort, I was either an outright hypocrite or capable of hypocrisy at embarrassing and serious levels. And I had to ask Jesus to take that hypocrisy from me. But as I was asking him to take that hypocrisy from me, I had to admit that I was capable of working against the prayer of which I was asking Jesus for. And that was when supernatural power entered my life to change me. So we're talking about bringing the peace and how Jesus brings the peace. And you have to understand that some of the reasons of why you don't have peace in your life is because point number four is real. The log in your eye is real. And you have to cooperate with God to get that log out of your eye. And then you can properly operate in life to take the little specks out of other people's. Lastly here, Jesus brings peace. Number five is Jesus' peace heals the body, heals the mind, and heals the soul. You should be getting really happy with this thing. Jesus' peace, it's going to heal your body. It's going to heal your mind. It's going to heal your soul. That is Jesus' peace. When Jesus speaks his word of peace, things happen. Beautiful things happen that are real. Mark chapter 4, verse 39 is a storm. Jesus is actually going to stand up in his boat with the storm. Here's how he rebukes it. Here's what he says. Peace. And then he just says to the waves, to the storm, to the water, to the wind, to the rocking boat, he simply says, be still. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Peace, be still. And so Jesus operates in this way where the word of peace from Jesus Christ heals the mind, heals the body, and actually heals the soul. Luke chapter 8, 48, the daughter that is healed there is actually healed as Jesus says, go your way in peace. He's going to heal this girl and he's going to say, well, get up and go your way in peace. Then she's healed. She's actually healed as Jesus works his peace. And so let me summarize these points because they're that important. They're that important and I don't want us to lose them. No devil, no sin has authority over Jesus. Secondly, Jesus creates peacemakers to give the world his peace. Third, the over and under principle is the key to the happy life. Fourth, the log in your eye is real. Fifth, Jesus' peace will heal the mind, heal the body, and heal the soul. John chapter 16, verse 33 says this, as we transition now into a time where you have to respond to Jesus by faith, I want to invite you to give your heart to Jesus Christ right now. I'm going to ask you to cross the line. I want to ask you, some of you are holding back because you say, well, Pastor, I've been that hypocrite. I was that hypocrite. I was that guy. I was that guy. And I just asked God, I begged him to change me and to remove all those areas of hypocrisy from me. And he began to do it in love. He began to do it in truth. He began to do it in grace. And he began to bring people around me. So that's no excuse. John chapter 16, verse 33 says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. Jesus speaking here right before he goes to the cross. In the world you have tribulation, but take heart. Say it with me, church. I have overcome the world. Jesus' peace will actually bring you to this place of overcoming. And so I'm going to pray now, and I'm going to ask you to join with me in a prayer by which you enter into a whole new realm of life. Repeat after me. Pray this prayer, my friends, and I promise you on the authority of God and his word that you will see God glorified in your life and that the love of God will enter your life and the Holy Spirit will baptize your life and you will see miracles. You will see these miracles from God. So pray out loud with me. Repeat after me right where you're at. I don't care if your friends are around, your family's around. Repeat after me out loud. Lord Jesus, save me. Save my soul. Save my life. Do what must be done in me and bring me your peace and your life and your truth and your love. I pray now, say this out loud, I pray now, by faith, believing you, Jesus, risen from the dead, that you will never leave me and never forsake me. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen? I'm so excited for you. I'm so excited for you. I know that God was operating and speaking to you right now. And so listen, friends, do me the next few favors. On this video, click on the more button and you can like this video, but I want you to share it. I want you to share it. I want you to click on it and share it with your friends. I want you to subscribe to this channel. I want you to go to simplebiblecommentary.com. There's a class called Focus on Jesus, and it's free to you. Take that class. Go to simplebiblecommentary.com and take the class called Focus on Jesus. I have a new podcast out. I'm actually surprised. Got a few nice notes from people. It's really simple. It's each little podcast is only 4 or 5 minutes. It's called Reading My Bible, has my name on it. I just read the Bible out loud. I'm just reading the Bible out loud so that every day you have 4 or 5 minutes of biblical encouragement, no matter what you're doing. God is with you. God is for you. And God came through Jesus Christ to save your soul. And He will be glorified in your life. I love you all very much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Ranch Church Podcast. For more information and service times, go to ranchchurch.com.